Will the House please come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may take the roll.
35 members present.
We have a quorum present to conduct business. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, excused from the call today are Representatives Jenkins, Szymanski, and Forshow. I note the presence in the chamber of Representative Jenkins. Also, Representatives Phillips and Cotton are excused today upon adjournment.
Our chaplain today is Bishop Masuda of the Holy Trinity Episcopal Church. Will the members please rise for the invocation?
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, from the Book of Psalms, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let us pray. Almighty God, giver of all good things, we thank you for the natural majesty of this land and for the great resources of this state. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends. We thank you for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and please us. We thank you also for disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our human frailty and our ultimate dependence on you alone. For these and all your other blessings, we give thanks. Amen.
Representative Ewling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Are there any objections for the prayer to be spread upon the journal? So ordered. On behalf of the House, Bishop, we'd like to thank you for being with us this week and sharing your thoughts with us. Will the clerk at this time please certify the journal for the 31st and 32nd legislative day?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 31st and 32nd days in House Supplement Number 17.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 31st, 32nd day in House Supplement Number 17 be approved as certified.
Are there any objections as to the correctness of the journal? The journal stands approved. Do we have any guests at this time for introduction? Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have several guests to introduce today. First of all, I'd like to introduce to the House a very independent lady, my partner for a third of a century, my wife, Joan Kopanen. And I'd like to introduce a former constituent, Mrs. Pat Clark, who was former Secretary of the Democratic Party of Alaska, and her daughter Evelyn Clark. And finally, Mr. Speaker, I would like to introduce probably the oldest surviving member on the Alaska legislature, the territorial legislature, that is to say, Arthur M. Chamberlain. Oldest survivor, I believe.
50 years ago, that was a pretty big number, and then somebody comes along with two-thirds of a century or something like this, so it cut me right down to size.
Thank you for your words. Any further guests for introduction? Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, it's been the first opportunity for me in Gallery B to introduce my wife, Betty Ramage.
Do we have any further introduction of guests at this time? Representative Gull?
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Today with us in Gallery B, we have one of the leaders of the Haines community, a citizen of some renown and a good personal friend of mine, Mrs. Vivian Menneker.
Okay, at this time, do we have any messages from the governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
The Senate adopted the following citations, and they are transmitted for consideration. Honoring Professor John Chun Kim, honoring Metlakatla Boys Basketball Team, honoring Anderson High School, honoring Christy O. Lawton, honoring William A. Moss, honoring Chugiak High School Football Team, and quadruple A state champions, honoring Donald P. Hodel. And these were adopted and have been transmitted to enrolling. In Memoriam Erling Strand, In Memoriam Marvin B. Flaverty, honoring Mahala Ashley Dickerson, honoring Port Lions Girls Basketball Team, and In Memoriam Soldotna Plane Crash Victims.
Okay, those citations that were not sent to enrolling will be sent to rules for calendaring.
The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 5 by Rohde, V. Fisher, Kurtula, Halford, Sturgiluski, Fakes, Jaroff, Kelly, and DeVries, relating to printing pictures of and information about missing children on milk cartons.
This will be referred to the Judiciary Committee.
Senate Bill Number 126 by Bennett, an act relating to automobile racing associations.
This will be referred to State Affairs and Judiciary Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any other communications that should come before this body?
We've received notice of proposed changes in the regulations of the Department of Revenue, and these have been duplicated and placed on each member's desk and will be on file in my office. And we've also received notice of proposed changes in the regulations of the Alaska Board of Game, and these also have been duplicated and placed on your desks and are on file in my office. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
On the daily order of business, this brings us now to reports of standing committees.
The House Labor and Commerce Committee has reviewed the Governor's Bill, Executive Order 60, which transfers the State Athletic Commission from the Office of the Governor to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, and recommends that it not be disapproved. The report was signed by Navarre Chairman and concurred in by Davis Vice Chairman, Boucher, Pierce, Kopanen, Collins, and Hanley. The executive order has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee has had House Bill 12 relating to the exemption of municipally owned utilities from certain provisions of the Alaska Public Utilities Act under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 12, CNRA, with a new title, and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Gall Chairman, concurred in by Wallace, Kopanen, Grunberg, Gall, Maru, Furness, and Phillips. House Bill 12 has a further referral to the Labor and Commerce Committee. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 98, clarifying the provision of mandatory and optional medical services under Medicaid under consideration, and recommends it do pass and approves the Governor's zero fiscal note. The report was signed by the co-chairmen, Kopanen and Grunberg, and concurred in by Kopanen, Grunberg, Pettijohn, Hanley, Taylor, and Hurley. House Bill 98 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had House Bill 123, extending the termination date of the Board of Pharmacy, under consideration, and recommends it do pass and approves the previous Governor's zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Navarre Chairman, concurred in by Navarre, Davis, Boucher, Kopanen, Pierce, Collins, and Hanley. House Bill 123 has a further referral to the Hess Committee. Mr. Speaker, the House State Affairs Committee has had under consideration for sunset review the Older Alaskans Commission pursuant to your referral under AS 446650. The committee has determined that there is a public need for the commission and recommends due pass to House Bill 124, extending the Older Alaskans Commission effective date. In accordance with statutory requirement, a public hearing was held on the review of the board, and the committee examined the performance audit of the activities of the board prepared by the Legislative Budget and Audit Division. Report is signed by Hurley Chairman, concurred by M.M. Miller, Cato, Boucher, Navarre, Jenkins, and Collins. The State Affairs Committee has had House Bill 124, extending the Older Alaskans Commission, under consideration and recommends it do pass and approves the fiscal note in Supplement Number 8. Report was signed by Hurley Chairman, concurred by Hurley, Navarre, Boucher, Cato, Collins, Jenkins, and M.M. Miller. House Bill 124 has a further referral to the Hess Committee. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had House Bill 126, amending the Alaska Securities Act, under consideration and recommends it do pass and approves the fiscal notes in Supplement Number 8. The report was signed by Navarre Chairman, concurred by Navarre, Köppen and Hanley, Pierce, Collins, and Davis. House Bill 126 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 152, relating to the status of board members whose term of office has expired, under consideration, and reports it back without recommendation and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Hurley Chairman, signing do pass, Jenkins, and M.M. Miller, signing no recommendation, Hurley, Navarre, Cato, Boucher, and Collins. House Bill 152 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 153, relating to state employment, under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 153, State Affairs, with the same title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Hurley Chairman, concurred by Hurley, Navarre, Collins, Cato, Boucher, and M.M. Miller. Jenkins has no recommendation. House Bill 153 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had House Bill 170, relating to land surveys, under consideration, and recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Navarre Chairman, concurred by Navarre, Köppen, and Hanley, Pierce, Collins, and Davis.
House Bill 170, an act relating to land surveys, now has a fiscal note, so it'll get an additional referral at this time to the Finance Committee.
It also has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee, Mr. Speaker. Go there first.
It'll go to Judiciary first and then Finance.
Thank you. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Report, Representative Gall.
Thank you, sir. Very brief, at ease, please.
Will the House please stand at ease?
The exemption of municipally owned utilities from certain provisions of the Alaska Public Utilities Act, under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 12, CNRA, with a new title, and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Gall Chairman, signing do pass, Wallace, Köppen, and Grunberg, and Gall. Signing do not pass, Maru. Signing no recommendation, Furness and Phillips. House Bill 12 has a further referral to the Labor and Commerce Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to reports of special committees.
The House Special Committee on Oil and Gas has had House Bill 101, Allowable Depreciation Methods for Oil and Gas Producers and Pipelines, under consideration, and reports it back without recommendation. The report was signed by Davis Chairman and concurred in by Zemanski, Sund, Cotton, and Davis, signing do pass, Maru, and Pinyalberry. House Bill 101 has a further referral to the Resources Committee. The House Special Committee on Oil and Gas has had House Bill 103, relating to royalty oil, under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 103, Oil and Gas, with a new title, recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Davis Chairman, concurred by Cotton, Sund, Porchot, Davis, and Zemanski. Pinyalberry has no recommendation. House Bill 103 has a further referral to the Resources Committee. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring the Fairbanks Women's Curlers by Representatives Frank Davis, Köppen, M.W. Miller, Ringstad Schultz, and Senators Bennett, Fahrenkamp, and Coghill.
They will be referred to the Rules Committee.
Citation honoring Arthur M. Chamberlain by Representatives Köppen and Hurley and Senator Fahrenkamp.
Okay, that will be held under for a special order of business.
House Joint Resolution Number 17 by Taylor, proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to the Office of State Treasurer.
Referred to the Judiciary Committee and the Finance Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction and first reading and reference of bills.
House Bill 198 by Gall, an act relating to municipal assistance for certain municipalities organized under federal law and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs, Judiciary, and Finance Committees.
House Bill 199 by Taylor by request, an act relating to motor vehicles.
Transportation and Judiciary Committee.
House Bill 200 by Taylor, an act providing for election of state treasurer, establishing the treasurer's powers and duties, repealing the Legislative Audit Division, and providing for an effective date.
Referred to the Judiciary Committee and also the Finance Committee.
House Bill 201 by Taylor, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to provide weekly summer marine highway service to Hyder and providing for an effective date.
Transportation and Finance Committee.
House Bill 202 by Taylor, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for construction of a ferry dock and terminal facilities at Hyder and providing for an effective date.
Referred to the Transportation and Finance Committee.
House Bill 203 by Herman, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services for payment as grants to the Bristol Bay Area Health Corporation and to the Aleutian Pribilof Island Association for operating costs of health care clinics and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, and Social Services and Finance Committees.
House Bill 204 by Furness, an act making a special appropriation to the Alaska Housing Finance Revolving Loan Fund for housing loans for the permanently disabled and providing for an effective date.
This will be referred to the House Special Committee on State Loans, HESS, and Finance Committees.
House Bill 205 by Pettijohn, an act relating to minors charged with felonies and amending the children's proceedings waiver provisions.
HESS, Judiciary, and Finance Committees.
House Bill 206 by Rieger, Pinyalberry, an act relating to unlawful obstruction or blocking of traffic.
Transportation and Judiciary Committee.
House Bill 207 by Rieger, Frank, Larson, Pierce, Pinyalberry, Ringstad, and Hurley, an act limiting investments of PERS and TRS funds.
State Affairs and Finance Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to the consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 17 by Euling and Szymanski, an act relating to multiple convictions for motor vehicle theft and joyriding. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 17 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 17 Judiciary with the same title, and recommends it do pass and attaches 300 fiscal notes. The report was signed by M.M. Miller, concurred in by M.M. Miller, Grunberg, Taylor, Pettijohn, and Phillips. Sund has no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 17 be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Are there any objections? So ordered.
I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 17 be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading and placed on final passage.
Are there any objections? Would the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 17 Judiciary by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to multiple convictions for motor vehicle theft and joyriding.
Is there any debate? Representative Euling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The bill before you came about in the last 2 or 3 weeks. It was requested by the Anchorage Police Employees Association as stiffening the crimes on joyriding and criminal mischief in the first, the second, and the third degree. And what had occurred in the law was that there was a situation where on the second offense or third offense, in the case of municipal ordinances on joyriding and theft of a motor vehicle, that people were being charged over and over and over again for the misdemeanor charge and were not being charged a Class C felony on the second offense. This bill would charge people who stole a motor vehicle with a Class C felony on the second offense. It was brought to my attention by investigator Lyle Davis of the Anchorage Police Department. Because of the rising number of thefts across the state, auto thefts, as a matter of fact, in Anchorage there was a 28% increase in auto thefts in 84, a 9% increase in 84 there was a 9% increase, 83 a 28% increase. So it's been going up pretty steadily. What this bill also does, it allows where there have been similar violations in other states, it's transferable to the state, and it strengthens the law considerably. It is it's a good bill, and I'd appreciate everybody's support on it.
Representative Gull.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill is a bill that's very strongly supported, at least in its intent, in my district, and I was wondering if I could just get a clarification by the sponsor. I understand provisions 1 and 5. Could you just clarify for the body provisions 2, 3, and 4, especially 4, what is meant by a propelled vehicle under statute cited?
Representative Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A propelled vehicle includes cars, boats, planes, motorcycles, snowmobiles, ATVs, sailboats, and construction equipment. And that's what's included in the definition of propelled vehicle. Vehicles. Oh, Section 3 also. 1146482A-4. Hold on a second. I'll yield to the representative.
And the floor has been yielded to Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, that's the general provisions of theft in the second degree. And item number 2, the former AS 2835010, is a former law that was taken off the books some years ago dealing with driving a vehicle without the owner's consent.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wonder if the sponsor for the uninitiated among us would give me a definition of what joyriding is as opposed to theft.
Representative Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe joyriding is when a vehicle is taken out, the person goes ahead and just takes it out for a ride. They go up the highway like 90 miles an hour, come back. And that's all they really do to the vehicle itself. The question is whether there's intent, it's my understanding whether there's actually an intent on theft. Joyriding indicates that they just go ahead and take the vehicle and drive it and then bring it back.
Unauthorized.
Unauthorized, yes.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to vote against this bill, and I'd like to take a few minutes to try to explain why that is. And I hope for the patience of the body, because it will take a few minutes. First of all, Mr. Speaker, the effect of this legislation is to increase the penalty for joyriding in many cases from a misdemeanor to a felony. And that increase in the crime will be because the person has committed a previous crime within the last 7 years. Mr. Speaker, that makes this an increase because of the status of the person. And that's a fairly unusual provision in our law. It is normal, Mr. Speaker, to increase the sentence that's imposed on someone if they've committed a previous crime, but fairly unusual to increase the crime itself because of their former status. These type of laws can be typically characterized, Mr. Speaker, as habitual offender statutes. And there are habitual offender statutes in many states. And this basically says that a person is going to be considered a habitual car thief if they've committed a crime once in the last 7 years that affects automobiles and then commits the crime again 7 years later. I think it's a bad policy, Mr. Speaker, to create crimes of status, to create a crime based on the status that a person has, that is, that they have committed a crime in the past. Secondly, Mr. Speaker, I oppose this legislation because it does increase to a felony, in most cases, the penalty for the crime of joyriding. And we have just had essentially the description between theft the distinction between theft and joyriding. Theft is the intentional taking of a vehicle with the intention to deprive the person of permanent ownership. Joyriding, which has in our statute been a less serious crime for many years, is the crime, as described by the prior speaker, of taking a vehicle temporarily without the intent to permanently deprive someone of possession of that vehicle. Mr. Speaker, the problem is that, in my judgment, that crime does not justify a felony penalty. The testimony by the Anchorage Police Department was that they were basically having difficulty proving the higher level crime of theft because they were catching people who were in fact only violating the crime of joyriding, and they were frustrated by that, so they wanted to be able to charge them with a felony, the felony crime of joyriding, if they'd had a prior offense. Mr. Speaker, I'm simply not convinced that this kind of piecemeal amendment to the criminal code to increase to a serious felony crime the less serious crime of joyriding is justified. The third reason that I'm against it, Mr. Speaker, is the question of cost. And this will take a moment. You have 3-0 fiscal notes in front of you from the Department of Law, I think the court system, and the Department of Corrections. The Department of Corrections says they looked at their existing population of prisoners and determined that basically there would be no increase in the cost of this if the bill were passed. However, Mr. Speaker, I talked to the corrections people this morning, and they were not privy to the information that the committee had before it in the consideration of the bill. The testimony, Mr. Speaker, from the Anchorage Police Department was that there were approximately 100 people who violated Section 484A2 in the last year in the Anchorage area. I'm speaking only in the Anchorage area, so you can imagine what it might be statewide. Approximately 100 offenders in the Anchorage area of this joyriding statute. Upon questioning, the witness testified that approximately 10 to 15% of those people were repeat offenders that would be affected by this legislation. That is, in 10 to 15% of those cases, the charge would be increased from a misdemeanor to a felony. Well, Mr. Speaker, when you increase the charge from a misdemeanor to a felony, if the prior offense was also a felony, you trigger the presumptive sentencing provisions of our statute. The presumptive sentence for a second conviction for a C felony is 2 years. Mr. Speaker, then if you calculate, and we're going to have to make some assumptions here, but it's because we have a zero fiscal note in front of us that I don't believe is accurate. If you make the assumption that the sentence for an A misdemeanor, which is what these crimes are now, the sentence is some matter of months, and the corrections people indicate that's probably two to three months maybe would be a normal sentence, although don't pin me to that, but let's use that as an assumption. You're going to increase that sentence for those people, the 10 or 15%, from 2 or 3 months to a 2-year presumptive term. Now, Mr. Speaker, if you run a quick calculation just in the Anchorage area, let's say 100 offenders, 15% of them are covered by the bill, that's 15 people who have their sentence increased from 2 months to 2 years. That's approximately 330 months of additional time necessary in our correctional institutions. If you calculate that the way the Department of Corrections does, that comes up to what they call 27 and a half man years. Now, we're making some assumptions here, and it might be lower, it might be higher. 27 and a half man years, Mr. Speaker. Since our correction system is full for all intents and purposes and potentially will be under court order to release people from our prisons, we have to assume, therefore, Mr. Speaker, that we're going to have to construct the beds for these people. If that's the case, Mr. Speaker, according to the Department of Corrections, it costs about $60,000 to build a bed in a correctional facility. That includes the security required, and all of that does not include the administrative cost, by the way. So if you take 27 and a half man years, people that are going to be in jail that wouldn't be if this bill were not passed, you multiply by $60,000 per bed, you come up with a cost of approximately $1.6 million in construction for the Anchorage cases that are going to be sent to jail under this law. Now, that's not all, Mr. Speaker, because Corrections tells me that it costs $88 a day to staff that, to make sure that that jail cell is secure, to provide the heat, to provide the food, to provide the services that are necessary, the medical services and so on, for those prisoners. $88 a day, Mr. Speaker, my very rough calculation, I didn't have a calculator, so I had to do it on my in my head, is approximately $800,000 a year in operating costs, Mr. Speaker. So we have a capital budget, in my very rough calculations, just for the Anchorage cases, of $1.6 million. That's a one-time cost. You then have an operating cost of approximately $800,000 a year for those Anchorage people that are going to be put in jail under this proposed bill, Mr. Speaker. I think that in the last few years, this body maybe has lost sight of the substantial financial impact of bills increasing criminal penalties. Now, in many, many cases, those are justified, and I would support them. But when you also consider the argument that the crime of joyriding is, in our general criminal code, not considered a very serious crime when compared with theft, which is the felony intentional permanent depriving somebody of a vehicle, and when you consider that this bill will increase that crime of joyriding to a felony in many, many cases, and then you consider the cost of doing that, I think that we should seriously reconsider whether this bill is a good idea. My final reason for opposing the bill, Mr. Speaker, the Anchorage Police Department spent most of their time testifying about how busy the Anchorage Police Department was with their cases. And you have a chart on your desk that gives you some indication of why that is. There was nothing in that testimony that indicated how we were going to reduce these figures by the passage of this bill. Auto thieves typically do not know, as most criminals do not know, what the penalty is for that crime before they commit the crime. Therefore, the increasing of the penalty will not deter them from committing the crime. It will simply put them in jail for a longer period of time once they have committed the crime. And I suggest that you're not going to do anything to reduce the workload in the Anchorage Police Department. You're not going to do anything to reduce the number of joyriding cases in Alaska. And you're going to have costs of $1.6 million in capital costs and $800,000 or $900,000 in operating costs because of the bill. I think those items, those arguments, Mr. Speaker, dictate why I'm going to vote against this bill. It costs too much, there will be no demonstrable effect, and simply as a matter of equity, the crime of joyriding doesn't justify a felony penalty.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the prior speaker had hit on some of the items that I had proposed to bring up. I would like to pose a question through the chair to the sponsor of the legislation, and it has to do, I'll draw the body's attention to line 10 through line 13 of the bill, and I'd read here, a person convicted under A2 of this section is guilty of a Class C felony if within the preceding 7 years the person was convicted under 1 through 4. My concern, Mr. Speaker, has to do with the preceding 7 years. It seems to be somewhat excessive. If we consider that in the state of Alaska, a person can get a driver's license at age 16, that means that that person will be monitored through age 16 through age 23. We consider youth and the problems that youth may encounter, and hopefully by the time the person is 23, they've reached adulthood and some maturity. It appears to me, Mr. Speaker, that we may indeed be looking at a former status, as the previous speaker said, and using that as a hedge against a young adult. I plan to support this bill, but I think this body needs to reflect a few minutes upon that 7 years preceding. It seems to be fairly significant. My question, Mr. Speaker, to the sponsor of the legislation is, to his knowledge, are there other parallels in law where we do look at a preceding 7 years? And second, Mr. Speaker, in his conferring with the Anchorage Police Department, did they give a preference of going back 7 years, or should this body be considering a lesser period of time preceding? Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Ewling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In regard to the 7-year limitation situation, that was brought up as a suggestion in the Judiciary Committee and added onto the bill. It was the representative from downtown Anchorage that had a question about putting a 7-year limitation on it, and it was added in the Judiciary Committee. So that's basically it.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we have a brief of these?
Will the House please stand at ease? Will the House please come back to order? I believe last time the last speaker had asked a question, and I'm not sure whether that had been answered or if anyone cares to answer that. Representative Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to address the House on this bill, not as an attorney or with attempting to give any additional legal expertise on it. This matter has been thoroughly hashed out through five attorneys sitting in the Judiciary Committee, of which the representative from Anchorage is one, and offered many fine suggestions to the bill. To address a couple quick ones, the 7-year limitation was set upon it because when the bill came to us, it was wide open and could have gone back forever, so to speak. We looked at other court decisions and sentencing standards within this state and felt that 7 was an adequate period to reach back to. I rise, however, not from that position, but from the position of the people in Anchorage who we are primarily talking about here. It's their statistics that we are looking at. I don't represent those people. They do not live in my district. The people in my district, however, do also suffer from the loss of motor vehicles. It's always been somewhat frustrating to me that someone could ever come up with the term joyriding. That term doesn't mean a great deal to the 55-year-old nurse who comes into my office or my courtroom crying because she can't get to work because someone has stolen her $15,000 automobile and taken it for a ride and then ran it into a rock pit where they totally destroyed it or set it on fire or raced it down the highway and ran it into a ditch. Most of the cases I have seen, the vehicle is not returned in the pristine condition that it was taken. Most of our constituents have as much money tied up in equity in their automobile as they have in their house. This is a major, serious investment that people make, and to connote that as a joyriding is ludicrous. If we use the same statistics that were shown to us earlier, and we only look at Anchorage, and we only average those vehicles as having a $10,000 value, which is a modest vehicle today, I submit, there are over $18 million worth of vehicles being taken in Anchorage a year. I think that's a significant fiscal note that has a direct effect upon the populace of that area. As I said, I don't represent those people particularly, but I have a strong concern for all of the people who are affected by this offense. I can relate to you an Anchorage crime that I was involved in as judge, where a new Thunderbird was stolen from a nurse in that community. It was found in the Toke area, where it had been driven off the road and destroyed. The person who had destroyed it had a previous criminal history, having done hard time in the state of Texas for over a year and a half for a similar offense. In our state, because of the factual makeup, he could only be charged with joyriding. when a person commits this offense, and many are committed that are never apprehended, he has the option under this new bill that if he commits the offense and is apprehended for a second time, he may be charged with a C-class felony. That's our lowest class felony in the state. If intoxicated, the same person stumbles into the back door of your home and steals a pair of work gloves off the back of your porch and stumbles back out again, he's guilty of a Class A felony. You can still go to work the next day if he's got your work gloves, but you can't if he's stolen your new car. As a consequence, as a representative from an area that doesn't see a great deal of car stealing, thank God, I still feel compelled to request this body to pass this matter promptly. I seriously doubt that it has the significant fiscal impact that has been indicated, but I believe we should take the opportunity to review that matter over the weekend. I intend to support this bill. I also intend to call the matter on for reconsideration if that's not done by someone else, so that if necessary, the question can be again addressed on the fiscal note matters after some deliberation this weekend. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Martin.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wholeheartedly concur with my fellow representative from Ketchikan. I think what we heard before was kind of the extreme case of what it may cost. We never look at the counterpart that the gentleman from Ketchikan were trying to say. First, joyriding came around in the neoliberal, ultra-liberal days of the mid-70s around here, where it seemed like the legislators in those days wanted everything and anything legalized, whether it be marijuana, cocaine, prostitution, but yet they wanted mandatory. You did toothbrush, all kids must brush their tooth every day. So it went from one extreme to another. And joyriding was a loose concept that saying, oh, well, someone was cold, and the kid from school borrowed someone's car because they missed a school bus. They cared very little for that person or the mother who was driving her infants to a daycare center or driving them to the hospital or an emergency, or just a shock effect when you get outside and suddenly you don't see your car there. It may take you 2 days, 3 days, and those costs also add up. The cost of the defense all adds up too. And I think they're minor, or they may be more major than this pseudo-extreme case we have of putting people in jail. I, for one, feel it is a public protection thing. I don't have any qualms about putting that guy in jail. You know, if he did it once, if he did it twice, he's going to do it three times, as long as he keeps on getting away and say, oh, I was just joyriding. Little concern is given to the victims here of the true cost involved, of the public defenders and getting that guy out. I think we'll probably be saving an awful lot of money on the public defense department because we won't need so many lawyers pleading on behalf of these individuals. But maybe we need more lawyers in the courts pleading on behalf of the victims who lost their car, who couldn't get to the hospital, who couldn't get to work. I find the bill long overdue, and I wish everybody would support it.
We still have two legal opinions to hear from. Representative Pettyjohn.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Grunberg and Sund, I'm sure, will be chiming in with their analysis of the bill. But just a couple points that have come up. The representative from Muldoon mentioned the 7 years and how this might impact a 16-year-old. If you're a minor under the age of 18, you're not charged criminally, so it would only apply from like 18 to 25. And by the time you're 18, you should know that you aren't supposed to steal people's cars. The other point was the representative from downtown Anchorage mentioned that these people who steal cars have no idea of what the penalty is. But what he failed to mention is, of course, that this bill specifically applies to second offenders. And I can guarantee you, and I think the representative from Wrangell would back me up on this, having been a member of the district court bench, that when you are sentenced for your first offense for car theft, The judge is going to tell you, in no uncertain terms, he will advise you, young man, you have stolen a car and you are here as a misdemeanor. If you do it again, under the laws of the state of Alaska, it will be a felony. And that is a very serious crime. So I think the second offenders are at least going to hear that from a judge in a very stern judicial atmosphere, and hopefully will take note of it. And that is, I think, perhaps the best effect of this legislation. And finally, Mr. Speaker, I really question the analysis of the fiscal impact given by the Speaker from downtown Anchorage. The major flaw that I noted in his analysis was the one that said all of these car thieves in Anchorage are going to be doing 2 years under the presumptive sentencing law. Well, that I question, because that presumptive sentencing will only go into effect for their third offense. The first offense is a misdemeanor. The second offense, they're a Class C felon. And they would not be a repeat felon when they go in the second time. It would only be the third time where they'd be a repeat felon and subject to presumptive sentencing. But I agree with Representative from Wrangell. We can examine. The Finance Committee has indicated his willingness to work over the weekend on the fiscal matters. If there really is a problem, we can take it up Monday on reconsideration. I don't think there is, and I think it's a good bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Maru.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have heard from the sitting side of the bench, and we have heard from the standing side of the bench. I would like to speak from the point of view of a victim. The difference between theft and joyriding, as far as I'm concerned, is a matter of duration. When a car is stolen for joyriding, it can be kept for a week, for a day, for a month. When a car is stolen, it is stolen forever. The intent is the same. The intent is to deprive the rightful owner of the use of that vehicle, whether it's for a day, a week, a month, or forever. I have had cars stolen, not in Alaska, 2.5 times, the same car. The half time, they didn't get away, or he didn't get away, because I had put a master switch in the car, which only I knew where it was, and he couldn't figure out how to get the thing done, how to get it started. I would like to point out, every single time a car is stolen, there will be damage to it. It is impossible, in my opinion, in my experience, to get a car back after joyriding that has not been damaged, if only because they have jumped the ignition switch. There will be damage to the vehicle. I would like to remind this august body that in our society, 100 years ago, horse thieves were hung. Now, may I have
order
house,
in this
house,
please come to order here. Excellent point.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Now, I am not suggesting that car thieves be hung, but I am reminding this august body that deprivation of transportation in our society is extremely serious. Perhaps it's not as serious now as it was 100 years ago, but nonetheless, it is serious. The esteemed representative from Ketchikan and former judge mentioned $10,000 per vehicle. That might be high for an average vehicle, but even if it's only $5,000, that's over $9 million a year just in Anchorage. And Anchorage has only half the people in Alaska. If we double that, that still is $18 million per year, which is certainly far above the cost of incarceration of any of these people who might be stealing vehicles. Lastly, I suggest that something must be done. Perhaps a stronger law will not help, but it might help. Certainly it puts car thieves on notice as to the seriousness of the situation. And lastly, if this bill becomes law, these car thieves will not be able to steal vehicles while they are in jail. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Minor correction on my response to the representative from Haynes a minute ago. I described the item 3 on line 16 as theft in the second degree. I misspoke myself. That's actually criminal mischief in the second degree concerning an item in excess of $500. I just wanted to clear that.
Representative Gull.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. As I've now started reading the statutes here, I'm a little confused, because it seems as if people who have prior convictions of criminal mischief in the third degree as it relates to the quote is towing away, or the actual quote is the person drives, tows away, or takes the propelled vehicle of another, a second conviction under that offense is already a Class C felony under 1146, 484, 3, subsection C. So I'm beginning to be a little concerned about what the real merit of this bill is. Possibly one of the previous speakers could comment on that. And secondly, regarding the comments made by the representative from downtown Anchorage early in the debate, the problem that we have in some areas of Southeast, for example, Prince of Wales Island, is that they are closed areas. One cannot separate a person from his motor vehicle in the same way as one could, let's say, in Anchorage, where the vehicle could be taken to Canada or taken to another state or what have you. Unless you bring the vehicle onto the ferry, which is seldom done by these folks, the vehicle might be removed from the home of the citizen and taken literally 500-600 miles of road away, and maybe be never recovered. And so in that sense, there is a difficulty in proving an actual theft where there would be damages to the individual by separating the vehicle from that individual in a way that the individual could not recapture his vehicle. But practically speaking, that occurs. What I'm trying to say is that the vehicle is taken far enough away so that it's hard to get back, but when it goes into court, it's hard to show that it was anything beyond joyriding. I thought I would combine my two questions into one, the second being I'd like comments on that issue to help me decide my vote, but more important, comments on the fact that second offenses seem to already be a Class C felony under the law.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to take this opportunity to rebut the statistics quoted by my counterpart from District 5. He mentioned 18 million. If you multiplied the number of vehicles statewide that would be stolen times 5,000, which is the value, those statistics imply that there would be total loss of the full value of the vehicle, and in that sense are quite misleading. Thank you.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I can't necessarily respond to the member from Haines, but I do want to respond to some of the other discussion here since my comments, and this is sort of random responses. First of all, to the lawyer member from Hillside, the deterrent argument, obviously we could argue about deterrence forever, but his argument doesn't apply in any situation where the crime's been committed. Your first crime was committed in another state. You don't have that advice by the judge, so it's not entirely compelling. Secondly, I think he's incorrect with regard to the triggering of presumptive sentencing. If you assume that a person has committed the felony crime the first time, which is the theft crime, and then the second time is arrested for what now is a misdemeanor and will be transferred into a felony because of this, that will trigger the presumptive sentence. The sentence range for a C felony is up to 5 years in jail. The presumptive sentence, which will be the most common sentence, is in fact 2 years in jail. Thirdly, Mr. Speaker, the member across the aisle from me suggests that my pseudo-extremist financial analysis should be discounted. Mr. Speaker, it's his kind of thinking that's produced our prison crisis, and I suspect that we better start thinking about the impact of this legislation before we pass it, so we can maybe do something in advance rather than just let our prisons explode, which is what they've done. Mr. Speaker, there's been a couple of questions come up about this, comments about the seriousness of the crime and the $15,000 vehicle and such. If you look at line 18 of the statute, of the bill rather, and read some of those sections that we're talking about an offense, for example, in 1146.140, which is an offense for the taking of a vehicle or a service, taking of a vehicle or a service of the value between $50 and $500. So you can take something that's worth $51 in value. It will, under this bill, be a felony, and it will trigger a felony for the second offense, and it will mean 2 years in jail. And I just ask you to consider in your own mind whether or not a felony sentence is justified for that level of criminal activity. Now, I'm not, by making that argument, suggesting that this is acceptable conduct. Of course it's not. And of course it's upsetting. And of course it results in people having damage to their vehicles. And of course it means they can't go to work. But, Mr. Speaker, is it worth 2 years or possibly 5 years in jail at state cost because somebody can't make it to work? I suggest that you analyze it, not in terms of whether it's acceptable conduct, because we all agree it's not acceptable, but analyze it in terms of the level of unacceptability and the cost to the state of making that decision.
Representative Sund.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I've listened here for a long time, and since everybody wants all the legal opinions on the Judiciary Committee, I'll offer mine. I was a no rec on the bill, and that's on the record in front of you when it came out of committee, and I don't think I've heard an argument here on the floor yet that didn't come up in the committee in one form or another. And I guess I have two or three basic problems with the legislation. One is, I don't want to, on a purist end of it, I'll just state clear, it's not acceptable conduct to take somebody else's car, but I agree with the representative from downtown Anchorage that we have to make some choices here as to what we're going to do with these criminals and people. There's very few places in our statutes where we have a habitual criminal statute, which we're starting to put in here. Most of the time, after you're charged and you go to the jail, your prior conduct comes in the sentencing end of it, not on the charging end of it. And by putting this bill in like we're doing here, we're saying basically it's a status crime that if you have a prior existing misdemeanor, that if you get picked up here on the second misdemeanor, you're going to get charged with the felony, regardless of what the conditions of the act are. And I just inherently disagree with habitual criminal statutes. So I have a problem on that end of it. The other aspect that was brought up is the choices of the low end or the high end. I think my colleague from District 1 brought up the high end example. We also have the low end example. We have the $50, $51, $52 items that can happen here that trigger 2 years in jail. And it's just interesting that this comes up because we just had a joint Senate House Judiciary hearing on presumptive sentencing. And there's some very interesting information that came out of that. Our jails are full, they are exploding, and Commissioner Endell made a very, I thought, unique comment. It says you either slow down the flow going in or you speed up the flow going out or you build a bit more beds. And those are the choices we have. And coming down through this session, we have choices to make on criminal statutes. We have sexual abuse choices. We have all kinds of crimes coming down, or they're crimes against people. And I think we have to start looking and say, what are we going to put in our jails, and how are we going to fill them up? We can go to the Minnesota method. If I haven't, I may not really understand it clearly, but it appears that in the Minnesota system, they have a commission that meets annually. They only have so many beds. They said beds in a prison are a finite resource, and we can only fill them up with the people we want in there, and they said they want 80% people make crimes against people, and 20% of the beds go to crimes against property. And every year they make a decision of how it's coming down, and they let the people go. Crimes against people are more serious to me than crimes against property. And I don't know if anybody else here agrees or disagrees with that. So I'm saying let's be careful of what we're doing here. I don't condone joyriding. I don't condone auto theft. But I'm saying this bill here, I think, goes a little too far in the sense of what it's trying to do. I believe even if the statistics given by the member from downtown Anchorage are half correct, there's a tremendous fiscal impact with this piece of legislation. And I guess for that reason, I was a no rec coming out of the committee, and I haven't been convinced to vote for the bill on the floor yet. So I'm going to record my vote against it for that reason. And I have the same problem as my representative from District 2 of the closed environment, the closed area in Ketchikan, is that you take a car, it's hard to show that you were going to take it off the island because there are very few ways to get off the island. But I don't think that the evidence given in the committee was adequate to substantiate and sustain the provisions of this bill. And I don't think it was the solution to the problem that they're having in Anchorage is going to be accomplished by enacting this legislation. Thank you.
Representative Pinnaberry.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, I'd like to compliment the Majority Leader on his comprehensive analysis of the bill, and he raised two arguments to which I'd like to respond. First of all is the one of cost. He indicated that we'd have an $800,000 or $8 million, it was eight with a lot of zeros. Anyway, and we could argue whether or not that number is correct, but I think it's irrefutable that the point is we will impact our correctional system and the cost will go up. However, there is before this body and in the other body as well a bill concerning temporary correctional facilities for people that are convicted of the lesser crime so they can work in community service programs and stay in something less than a full-fledged state jail facility. I know the Judiciary Committee Chairman introduced the bill on this side and the Rules Committee Chairman introduced it on the other side. I think that offers some hope toward the issue of cost. And secondly, with regard to the deterrence argument, before we increased the penalty for drunk driving, probably no member in this body could recall what the penalty was for drunk driving until all of a sudden it was a mandatory 3 days in jail. And all of a sudden, now it's 10, we all know what the penalty is for drunk driving. So I think there's a good argument for deterrence. And finally, Mr. Speaker, I noticed that we've had this handout from the sponsor of the bill that shows an ever-increasing trend line of the number of, I could tell right off the bat it wasn't our revenue picture because the line's going up, but it shows the a steady trend line up with this kind of a crime. And the point of this bill is that, look, we've got a problem, especially in the urban areas. We've got a problem. We've got to address it. We ought to try to do something. We might argue as to the ultimate impact of this bill, but at least it is an attempt to try to correct the problem that is much more serious in the urban areas than the rural areas. And so I would plan to support the bill and urge other members to do so. Thank you.
At this time, I'd like to place a call on the House. Representative Gull.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to take a few moments to address the bill as a piece of legislation. I think the major issues, I'd like to, if I may, compliment the body on the nature of the debate. It was very enlightening to me and helped me to clarify my thinking. And now in looking at the existing statute, I have a few points on the legislation itself as written or as it came out of the Judiciary Committee. First of all, if we take a look at lines 14 and 15, we find that two provisions of this bill already exist in statute. And whether or not we support or oppose changes in the classification of a crime based on recidivism or repeat offense, the fact remains that these two lines already exist in the statute, and the real change comes in the underlined portion on lines 12 and 13. Then we get down to line 3, and we let me drop down to section 4 on line 17 and 18. If we look at Alaska Statute 1146.120 through 140, we find that the crimes covered in 120 and 130 are already felonies and relate to theft. But when we get to 140, we find there that this is theft of items under $50. Not over, not $51, but actually under $50. Now, I see the representative shaking his head, so I'm going to read the exact language to you, if you'll bear with me for a moment. This is 1146.140, theft in the third degree. The value of the property or services is, my mistake, I apologize, thank you, gentlemen, $50 to $500. Well, the arguments on that have already been made. I think rather than continue to repeat what other people have said, let me just say briefly that the major portions of this bill that were creating some objections are already covered by statute, and the additions to the bill just extend upon those problems. And although we do have a very significant issue on Prince of Wales Island and in other parts of the district regarding the definition of joyriding, I don't think that this particular bill is crafted in a way that's going to address that problem without creating new problems, and I will be forced also to vote against the legislation. Thank you, and my apologies for the misreading of Section 140.
Representative Sund.
Yeah, I'd just like to follow up that comment a little bit, because a lot of the discussion that's gone on this floor is to the crime of joyriding itself, and whether that should be a crime or not, or whether we should just eliminate joyriding and call joyriding theft. The bill deals with the sentencing on the second time, not the crime itself. And if we want to get a bill in here to elevate first-time joyriding to a felony, well, let's do that and argue it on that point there. But let's look at what the bill exactly is doing, and that's taking a second offense and making a basically a status crime out of it, and elevating some very simple situations from it should be misdemeanors to a presumptive two-year sentences. And I'm not going to disagree with the high-end problem of this, that maybe on the high end they should go and this should be in there, but on the low end there's some very, very bad things that start happening to people that don't need to happen in our criminal system. We ought to save the beds for people who hit other people.
The call of the House has been satisfied. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 17, Judiciary, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk may take the roll.
31 yeas, 7 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 17, Judiciary, has passed the House. Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to give notice of my vote, a reconsideration of my vote on committee substitute for House Bill number 17, Judiciary.
Notice of reconsideration has been given. Under the consideration of the daily calendar, we have some final action on citations.
Did you want me to read them?
Would you please?
Citations honoring Western Council Boy Scouts of America, honoring Alaska's Catholic Schools, honoring Klawak Boys Basketball Team, Alaska State A Champions, honoring Klawak Girls Basketball Team, Southeast Regional Champions, honoring DeRay Jones, honoring West High School Newspaper, honoring Professor Stephen Kahn, honoring Professor Jean-Paul Biot, honoring Professor Marilyn Johnson, in memoriam Dennis Dunnigan, in memoriam George Harbison Sr.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that all of the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Are there any objections? So ordered. Representative Kopanen.
Mr. Speaker, I would ask unanimous consent that as a special order of business, the citation honoring Arthur M. Chamberlain be brought up at this time.
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation honoring Arthur M. Chamberlain, member of the 12th Alaska Territorial Legislature, be passed unanimously.
Are there any objections? So ordered. We're under unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before this body? Representative Clarkson.
Let's see. I've got to get my excuses. May we have a brief at ease, please?
Will the House please stand at ease? Will the House please come back to order? Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, in a moment I intend to take up the bill in the limbo file, so you might pull that out. Before I do that, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Pignalberry be excused from the call of the House on Monday, February 18, through until plain time on Tuesday. And I move that Representative Sund be excused from the call of the House on Monday, February 18, until plain time Tuesday.
Are there any objections? So ordered. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, in the limbo file, we have House Bill 66 on workers' compensation. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House... No unanimous consent. We need a roll call vote. I move that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 66, thus adopting the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 66. And I ask that the members vote yes.
Is there any debate or discussion? One minute here. The question is, shall the House concur in the amendments, thus adopting Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 66, Labor and Commerce? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk may take the roll.
36 yeas, no nays.
The House has concurred in the amendments, thus adopting Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 66, Labor and Commerce. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask that the roll call vote on the passage of Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 66 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objections on the effective date clause? So ordered. Is there any further unfinished business to come before this body? Announcements of standing committees or special committees. Representative Clarkson.
I have several announcements, Mr. Speaker. First of all, please hold your calendar for today, since the bill on the calendar was reconsidered. Secondly, the Associated General Contractors invite legislators to a reception on Monday from 5 to 7 p.m. in Centennial Hall. Also, Mr. Speaker, Senator and Mrs. Frank Murkowski invite legislators to refreshments following the Monday joint session in the Butrovich Room. That's for the receptions. Reception, not the joint session. That's here. And also, Mr. Speaker, to a reception Monday from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. in Centennial Hall.
Any further announcements? Standing committees, special committees, general announcements. Representative Taylor.
Yes, I would like to make this announcement. The representatives and hopefully the senators who have an interest in the Ford Dam Pool will be meeting this afternoon at 3 o'clock in the Belts Room to meet with representatives from the communities and hopefully to come up with some legislation for this body to consider. Anyone interested in that should attend at 3 o'clock in the Belts Room. Also, I'd like to invite everyone to the Southeast Conference reception, which will be 6 o'clock this evening in the Treadwell Room.
Any further announcements? This brings us to special orders. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, could I have the privilege of the floor to address the memorandum from the Legislative Outlanders Association?
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I received this memorandum, and I was somewhat shocked when I received it. I really don't know what the problem is. I don't know if the walk is too far, or if for those members that don't know where the newspapers located are, they're located on your desk. I will help anyone afterwards find their desk if they're not sure where it's at. Your mail is located in the mailbox. It's just outside the door. There again, I will help you find your mailbox. But in the interest of good health, I think I'm going to have to deny this request because we like to have our members full of vigor and energy, and I think that walk up the hill once a day will do you good. However, to show you that I am not a hard-hearted person and I do have some passion in me, those members on the back page, the ex-officio members, those members with rooms here in the Capitol building, starting tomorrow, you may receive your mail and newspapers in the Barron's building.
End of discussion. Representative Pinalberry.
Mr. Speaker, the good representative from North Pole indicated at first that he wasn't sure what the problem was, and I would just like to offer assistance to him and offer to change offices with him as soon as he's ready.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, as one of those unofficial members who, in a spirit of goodwill and friendship, did sign that last page, my motto from now on is no more Mr. Good Guy.
Any further special orders? Representative Clarkson.
On the subject, Mr. Speaker, if I might comment, I think it's important to have a historical perspective on this and note that some of the members of this body, myself included, made this same request last year, and it was turned down last year as well, so you might remember that.
Is that what you wish to speak on, Representative Clarkson?
Pardon?
Is that what you wanted to speak on?
Yes, I'm done.
Okay, permission granted.
Request the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Pettyjohn,
to speak on the role of precedent in the legislature, if I may have the privilege.
Proceed. Are there any objections? Please proceed.
If the good majority leader intends to follow the precedent set by his predecessor in matters of policy and substance and procedure, I would certainly be interested in knowing that. I had assumed that he, upon his election to that position, would be interested in perhaps some new approaches, but if I am mistaken, I would really like to be informed of that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further special orders? Representative Navarre.
Mr. Speaker, I'd ask the privilege of the floor to speak on the same subject.
Are there any objections? Go ahead, we're in this deep.
Well, I was just noting that the representatives from Barron's have to come up to this building to get their mail and newspapers anyhow. I was wondering if maybe one of them would be willing, since they come up here anyway, to deliver my mail and newspaper to my office on their way down.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, if there are no other special orders, I move and ask unanimous consent that...
Mr. Speaker, I'd like an opportunity to address the House on bills submitted today.
Are there any objections? Representative Taylor.
Yeah, I'll be very brief, folks. My concern is that there were to have been listed on each of those bills several other co-sponsors. For some reason, those names were omitted. I offer you my humble apology for that and ask anyone who has an interest in this legislation to please join with me in supporting it. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I'll try again. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until Monday, February 18th. Remember, it's at 11 a.m.
Are there any objections? So ordered.